everyone, and welcome to the All Things Military and Veteran Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Gillard. With me today is my wife, Hartini. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. This is an honor and a pleasure.
So today we're going to be diving into some of the stuff with Senator Tuberville's hold on the promotions for the military. Before we get into all that, I want to talk a little bit about Donkey Derby Days that we just went to last weekend. It was a great time. Got to talk to some folks that really needed help finding a path forward with their VA benefits, stuff like that. And some folks didn't even know what they were, eligible for. So it was a good thing to get out there and talk to those folks out there. Probably one of my favorite memories from the weekend, one of our volunteers at the tent, Lois. She's 86 years old, and she actually remembers collecting milkweed pods for the World War II effort when she was in grade school. They would go around and get milkweed pods for fiber and things like that. And now she's, you know, still politically active. She still writes postcards for Canada she supports and things like that. And she was volunteering at our tent, and a guy came up, and, you know, our tent, you know, obviously draws a crowd for helping vets, but then there's also a secondary crowd that comes just to ask about the word progressive in our name. And this guy came up, and you know, I was talking to him because I enjoy talking to pretty much anybody trying to get their opinions on things. And he started mentioning middle of the road politicians like Democratic candidate for president RFK Jr. And Lois, she's a nurse, a retired nurse, and she started talking about how he was anti-vax and how, you know, vaccines, you know, help save lives. And the guy that we were talking to called her like a soundbite or something like that, and she took huge offense to it. And she got up and she stood up in the guy's face and she, you know, talked to him like, I was a nurse for 30 years and vaccines save lives, and she didn't put up with any BS. And it was fun to see because, you know, a lot of us, you know, we tend to back down when confronted with things, but, you know, she had her experiences that drove a passionate response from her, and it was fun to watch, honestly. I wish more people would have been there to see it. But these are the type of events that we do. We, you know, we try to get out and talk to people. Any vets that need their resources, there's one Vietnam vet. He is actually in Vietnam, so he had exposure to Agent Orange, and he's getting nothing right now. So we're going to work with him and try to get him taken care of for some of the issues that he's been having, which more than likely was caused by his exposure to Agent Orange. So a lot of good people out there at Donkey Days. My wife and kids were actually out there too. They got to see a lot of fun things around there. It's a fun town, always a fun time to get out there. So if you're looking to join us out for an event like that, just drop us a line at info@epccpv.org, and we'll get you signed up. Our next event is down in Fountain on Labor Day weekend. It's only a couple hours, but if you come out, help us out, it'd be deeply appreciated. Another thing that's recent is that the initial PACT Act deadline for submittal passed, and they did a quick extension over last weekend. That extension was just to allow you to get backdated back to the original date that it was signed. It's still something that you need to go get screened for, you need to go checked out for, because there's still a lot of benefits out there. The PACT Act doesn't stop because of that deadline. That just means you can't backdate it to the beginning. So go get checked out. Since the PACT Act, we just passed the 1 year mark for the PACT Act. And since then, 4.1 million have received a screening, and over 350,000 have received benefits due to the PACT Act. So it's still there. It's still value added for you to go sign up and get screened for wherever you were. I just can't encourage it enough because it'll definitely help you out in the long run. Recently, the Biden administration reversed the Trump administration's decision to land Space Command over in Huntsville, Alabama. Hart, what's your thoughts on that change from the Biden administration?
I think it was the smart thing to do, right? And not only because I'm biased because of being in the reserves with the space mission, like everything is already established here, you know? And so in order to up and move it, you're right, like things would have to be put on pause, you know, and it would take time to stand them back up in a different location. Like it doesn't make any sense, you know, to move it when it's already working here.
See, I think I'd be okay if they moved it as long as they had something in place to say for the next 10 years it's going to be here and stay operational and slowly transition over there. Because every combatant command needs a continuity of operations position to go to set up for, you know, in case of natural disaster or whatever. So they could set that up over in Alabama and start like setting it up to be the command. And then, you know, kind of let it be operational here. But I'm also okay with the move just to straight up say that this is the command and we're not going to waste more money, you know, trying to build another one. They still need to build that coop option, but it'll be interesting. One thing that I really find funny about this decision, and this will never be officially stated or anything like that, but, you know, I think this decision was directly derived from Tommy Tuberville's hold on, you know, military promotions. Mm-hmm. And again, the Trump or the Biden administration will never admit to that. They'll never say that it's a political move because they have a very valid excuse for being operational ready. But I think it's pretty funny that Senator Tuberville's little, you know, look at me stunt that he's trying to pull cost his people a lot of money, you know, when it comes to like business and things like that, because this town is built on the Space Force or the military in general, because we got Fort Carson down south too. But, you know, the space mission around here is huge, and Huntsville is built around that too. So I know they're definitely going to feel the impacts of it. And actually they had a space symposium like we have here. Mm-hmm. And the head Space Force general and a lot of their other generals that haven't been approved for their positions yet, they backed out of it because they're only in acting positions. So they don't want to go speak in front of large corporations and stuff like that. And because like their point is, like, if I make a decision and I'm not selected, I just made a decision that's going to be a 2 to 3, 4 year decision, you know, a strategic decision.
Absolutely.
So it's not fair for the next person coming in.
Yeah.
So
that's fair enough. And I think when you get up to that level, like, you realize that, right? Because, like, you know, all of us, when you're in the workforce, right, you're being evaluated in one way or the other, right? And I'm sure a lot of the listeners listening, right, you're prior military, so you have your officer evaluations and you have your enlisted evaluation. And I think when you get to a certain rank, right, like, your evaluations aren't like, oh, I served dinner, you know, over Christmas. It's like, hey, I did this, you know, and it's a very pointed bullet, you know, and you're right. Like, if you make those decisions in an acting position, you know, and it's the wrong one, like, that can be career ending.
Well, a lot of these folks at this position too, or the ones that are getting held up, they're at the end of their career and they're waiting to retire too. So, like, it just, like, these people have served for 30 to 40 years and they're being held up. So with Senator Tuberville's hold on military promotions, like, what do you think the repercussions of that is going to be?
I think it's a huge setback. Like you said, as far as decision making, you know, we need that decision making now, you know, and when you have acting forces in there, like, you might have some bold ones to actually make those decisions. But like you said, I think, you know, if history has shown itself, like, a lot of those acting positions are just placeholders, right? Like, they're just, you know, okay, well, I'm the acting. Let me sign this for today. Let me do this for today. You know, they're not really changing. And that's going to be detrimental to us because, like, in our military, especially in today's age, like, sometimes, like, very important decisions need to be made on the fly. You know, and you're just hindering this. Like, you're not being, by withholding, by not putting the qualified and hiring qualified people to be in these positions of authority, right, you're really
like holding back anything to be done, right? And we're in an age of technology where like something that's, you know, in the know now, tomorrow could be like, could fade away, you know, and it's just, yeah, I think this, we're going to feel this for years. You know, either primary or secondary effects, like we're, this isn't good. Like what I've researched a little bit, you know, like his people aren't even in support of this. Like they don't think that you should politicize military, which mm-hmm. you shouldn't, because that's not what we're there for. So,
yeah. And Secretary Austin, Lloyd Austin, he had a press conference a couple of days ago, and, you know, he talked about, you know, 300 officer promotions right now are being held up. It's the first time ever, you know, it's unprecedented to have three of our branches not have confirmed or Senate confirmed leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, are people going to stick around and wait for the, and another thing that just frustrates me with Congress in general is how they just take time off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, August.
Oh, yeah.
They took August off.
Oh, no.
Like, we don't.
Well, because there's no holiday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Got to squeeze that 4 day in somewhere.
Yeah. The rest of us are like, oh, Labor Day's coming, buddy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They just take August off.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's no holiday. We've had a holiday since May.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we're at a. Because they do it with the budget and other things like yeah. that, too, where, like, things that the rest of America deeply requires us to pass and, like, have functioning. Because even when you look at, like the whole UAP disclosure stuff that's going on, like, they're not pissed that we have a reverse engineering program. They're upset that, like, they didn't know where the money was going and stuff like that. that's how the disclosure is going to happen through, like, Congress.
Yeah.
But, like... Where are they getting, I don't know, it's just messed up priorities there.
Absolutely.
You know, they're always looking for, you know, where they're getting their paychecks from or how they're supposed to be doing their jobs. But if you don't give money, like, so October 1st starts our fiscal year, right? But we don't get our budget until June. People are going to start doing shady shit. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like Congress yeah. has such a big role in allowing all of this dark, shady money to be, you know, passed around. Because
without any traceability.
Right. Because they can't do their job to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, like these programs, like the SAP programs and stuff like that, that, you know, we get involved in, they don't have time to wait for them to pass, you know, and to hire people and to spend money on technology. So, yeah, Congress has a lot of problems that they should be dealing with and causing problems with our military and, you know, holding up, you know, because now all the academies are starting, these commandants aren't in place, things like that. It's, like you said, it's going to cause generational problems. And that middle tier right now, are they going to stick around and wait to be promoted up?
Yeah. How do you fix this?
Yeah, if they know they're not going to be taken care of, if they know they're going to be used as a politicized weapon.
Yeah.
You know, like, why would they stick around with that when, you know, especially 06s and above, like, when they get out, they can bank a lot of good money. Like,
they're marketable. And yeah. I think they're marketable in all fields, right? Like, it's not just, like, space-related or, like, a military-related. Like, 06s that were doctors are marketable. They, mm-hmm. like, a lot of the reserve dentists that I deal with, they have their own private practice. Like, I really think they come in on the weekend, you know, from the goodness of their heart to take right. care of the people,
yeah.
you know, and you're right. I mean, like, we can even see, you know, how I separated out of active duty, that DOS rollback, like, it created such a big hole of good, like, middle tier
yeah.
technicians that what did the military do to fix that? Offered you bonuses to come back in, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, this is just going to cost tax dollars more. And all this to prevent, tax dollars going towards abortions. Like, like you said, there's bigger issues out there for you to whine and cry about something so minuscule that doesn't even require, like, it's not about your life.
Right. Well, and so before they went on break, they had a meeting, and Senator Tuberville wanted the Democrats to win him over, type of thing. Like, come with the stats. Like, is this military hold causing problems for people, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't have the stats there to me, the stats are obvious. You know, 300 general officers, like, these are important people with important decision-making powers. But he needed to see something on paper. But I would... So he was upset that he didn't see it on paper, but I would challenge him, like, how much money are you saving by doing this? Like, how much time and, like, effort that we're spending on this? How many people in the military are actually using funds for travel and stuff like that to receive abortions? So, like, he hasn't provided his numbers either. He's just making a stand on this Hyde Amendment that, when you read it, it says no federal funds for abortion. Cool. The second section, though, says that unless it's a case of rape, incest, it hurts the mother, you know, like there's danger to the mother's health and stuff like that. So, like, again, this is a problem that I've seen way too many times. People read the first sentence, and there's a shit ton of information after that, and they just ignore it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, yes, federal funds cannot be used for an abortion, but if the woman is going to die from that pregnancy, it can be.
Yeah.
Now, the only people that know that is the doctor and the woman.
Absolutely.
That's the only people that need to know that.
HIPAA.
Yeah. Senator Tuberville does not need to know any of that shit.
No.
Like, he is way out of his, like, lane in his jurisdiction on this one. The whole, like, you have to take the whole amendment for what it is, and then you have to respect other laws that tie into that. Like you said, HIPAA.
Yeah.
Like, medical decisions are between a doctor and the person.
Absolutely.
Like, why is the government getting involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even understand when you look at Republican values, they want fiscal conservative, right? Small government, but that's not what they're pushing.
No.
You know, they don't push for a small government. They want the government to control the way that they want you to be.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, whatever meets with their viewpoints, you know. The Hyde Amendment says, you know, no abortions with federal money unless it's rape, incest. And when you talk to more conservative people, they want common sense laws that say stuff like this.
Right? Yeah.
You know, a lot of them, like, they don't support abortion, but they understand if a woman's raped, it might be necessary, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of conservatives want these type of rules written like this, like the Hyde Amendment. Like, it's a fairly common sense law when you read it. If it was read, you know, basically how I read it, where you read the whole thing, it's what people want. But now that we have one in place, we have somebody trying to manipulate people's perception of it
mm-hmm.
by only reporting half of the amendment, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people just don't have time to go pick stuff up, you know, and read the whole thing. And it's not a long amendment either. It's fairly short, but the manipulation and the spin that the politicians put on these things to divide the country, the more you look for it, the more you see it.
Yeah.
And like you said, politicizing the military, like, especially with the NDAA coming out where it said, like, we can't train against extremism anymore. You know, like, no anti-extremism training. Like, that was one of the amendments for the NDAA.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're trying to politicize it more. But, like, it's like we're trying to even divide the military on how to handle things. You know, and I think that's pretty scary, you know, rolling up the next election. I don't know. What are your thoughts on all that? I know I threw a lot there.
You did throw a lot. I don't even know where to focus on. You know, it is wild to me how, like, these lawmakers, like you said, they only take tidbits of laws, you know, and run with it, not really giving the full picture to the Americans, right? And, like, so that part's wild to me, but, like, also how our education, like, we don't even focus on, like, how teaching our generations to be mindful of that. You know what I mean? Like, because how many Americans, like, if this is such an issue, and if there's anyone that sides, you know, with that particular side or like that particular part of it, or, you know, even other laws that they've only focused in on, you know, oh, well, this is bad because, you know, my senator said this is bad, you know, but they don't take the full picture. And, you know, but so in the sense, I guess what I'm saying is like, it's mind boggling to me how a lot of us are just complacent, you know, and is that really the root cause of the politics that we're in now?
You know, I've said it a lot of times that one of our, how do I say it's not like worst things we've done as a society, obviously, because we've done some pretty shitty things, but one of the things that frustrates me the most when it comes to our society is we don't talk religion or politics.
Yeah.
And so by not talking about these things, one, you allow people to only listen to their own little echo chamber, and then, you know, so they just feed themselves into extremism. And then, but you also don't learn how to interact with people and be respectful of people. You know, because even, you know, at up in Cripple Creek last weekend, there's that one active duty lady that came up. What do you mean by progressive? Is that woke stuff?
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and she was immediately shut down just by a word. You know, and that's so like people aren't even ready to listen to each other.
No.
Because they're just so conditioned to only listening to their own echo chamber.
Yeah.
You know? It's a strange scenario that we've made for ourselves.
Absolutely. Because even in our family, like, I think most of us can probably relate to this. Like, in our family lives, you can't even talk religion or politics because people will get so heated about it, you know, and other people will get really offensive or defensive about it. And, you know, next thing you know, grandma's crying, you know, and nothing's been solved. You haven't really taught either side, you know, a difference of opinion, because like you said, you're just shut down because like, oh, this is not what my news channel says. You know, these are not what my friends believe. So yeah, it is definitely a wild time, you know, to be living in.
Swinging back to Senator Tuberville's protest. I mentioned it earlier, but I find it comical that everything on his website says Coach Tuberville.
Oh yeah.
Like, the way that it's like harped on, you know, he's told people, "Well, call me Coach."
Yeah.
You know, like, so that tells me about what I need to know about him to begin with. But, I forgot even where I was going with that now.
Well, it's just one of those things, like, you know, going back to complacency, right? Like, studies have shown that we as people will follow we'll follow leaders, not necessarily because they're good leaders, right? We follow leaders because they make us feel safe. They make us feel like they'll take care of us, right? And like, I think a lot of these kind of leaders, they're a certain type of personality, right? And in mm-hmm. a book that I'm reading right now, they call them Reds, right? Like, and Tuberville, like from the little research that I've done, really does come off as Red, right? And like, I don't know him personally, and I haven't like really read into any of his writings. But is he malicious about it? Is he trying to be malicious about it? Or is he that one, like, abortion is just one of those things. He's like, oh, hell nah. You know, like,
so like a month ago, he had to be talked into, saying white supremacy is bad.
Oh yeah. So he's, done. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Like, and like whoever the anchor was or the interviewer was, like, gave him plenty of opportunity to be like, no, white supremacists are bad. And he kept, you know, kind of backpedaling, saying, well, you know, you gotta listen to everybody. And, you know, just.
Oh, only if you're white.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, he's definitely lived a privileged, protected life.
Yeah.
And thanks for filling some time there, because I remembered what I wanted to say. But it leads right into that, is that there's a huge disconnect between white collar and blue collar, obviously.
Yeah.
But even white collar Democrats and blue collar Democrats, there's a huge disconnect that needs to be addressed, hopefully before the next election cycle. But with Tuberville, he was actually quoted as saying, you know, his hold on promotions is only affecting the GOs, you know, the general officers and flag officers. So that's your stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says the people that actually work don't get aren't being affected by it. And now he said, like, this, him using the word actually when talking about general, like, I will make fun of any general all day long. Like, I have no problem making fun of generals, but I also understand and respect the amount of work that those men and women do.
Yeah.
There was a time at a previous unit where somebody walked in and the 3-star general was sleeping on his floor of his office because he had just worked. He'd worked, like, you know, 20 hours straight, and we had like 3 or 4 more days of like 20 hour days. So it was just easier for him to sleep on the floor in his office rather than get all of his shit, go back to billeting, try to sleep there, then come back, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he had all of his networks in his hotel room, too, because when you're at that level, they really cater to you. They haven't seen trash in years. So, right. Like I said, I'll make fun of any general. But but this guy, he was sleeping on his floor because he was just exhausted. And he knew he had another week of exhaustion looking forward to. And, you know, my commander gave somebody his own credit card and had him go buy an air mattress to put in the general's office so that at least when the general was in town, like, he could sleep on an air mattress in the office and not directly on the floor. But that's the type of people that these general, like, he's holding up from either retirement or for promotion. Like, and even with this, like, I know there's still generals sleeping on the floor somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even with being held up and being stop loss and not being able to retire, they're still kicking ass and they're still doing their job out there. And so for somebody who's never served.
Yeah.
To sit there and say, you know, the people that actually work, like, they're not turning wrenches. They're not taking out their trash. But
the stress is different.
Yeah.
It's absolutely different, right? Yeah. Like, you can't just turn it off on your ride home.
No.
Right? Like, like you said, at that level, they have the connections, they have the networks at their house. Yeah. You know, they're available at the moment, you know, because they are those decision makers, right? Mm-hmm. In, like, in any organization, right, you need a leader, right? Like, I think any one of us can find an organization that failed, and you can attribute it to, like, the loss of a leader or, you know, just poor leadership.
Yeah.
Right? And being a Broncos fan, right, like, this past season, actually, like, it actually came up in business classes, right? Like, how our seasons have done really bad because the patriarch that I don't even know who was the main owner. I know his family owns it now, right?
That's how I know you're not a real Broncos fan.
But, you know, when you don't have someone to pull the team together, you don't have an effective team,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yeah, those generals and those leaders that are not actually doing the work, like, the team is going to suffer, right? And all because you're trying to make a political statement.
Right, yeah, and even then, and that, like, there's no, what's disappointing is there's not enough Republicans stating or, like, saying, speaking up against them.
Absolutely. But that's what I read, too.
But there's definitely no support for them when it comes to the national state. Alabama Republicans, their state Senate voted 99-1 to support him.
Really?
Yeah. So he's getting a ton of support at home.
Well, from other, because, like,
Alabama state senators.
Yeah, from there. But, like, the little bit of research that I did, I forgot what the group was. Oh, I probably should have written all of this down. Right. But there, like I said, there was that study done, like, you know, the everyday Joe Schmo of Alabama and Jane Doe of Alabama, like, they don't support this. Like, they're in the middle of the road. Like, some of them are like, okay, you made your point. Let go of the military.
I've heard that too. Do you ever see the, there's a rift, like, through that area of the South from, like, you know, the last ice age, that, like, it left a real fertile crescent of soil, and that's where, like, a lot of the plantations are and stuff like that.
Okay.
But since there's a lot of plantations there, it's all Republican, but it's all based off of, like, a fertile ridge from, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 years ago. That's why we have, like, a Republican South, because that's where the big plantations are.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny because, like, the kids and I just watched Ice Age this weekend. And so I was like, oh, and it was the melting. It was like the ice was melting. And
the younger Dryas. That's time for another podcast. So that's really all I got for that conversation. I was looking at my notes here. I did actually forget to mention that Mountain Country actually did an interview with me yesterday for the Vet of the Week. So I think starting next Friday, maybe this Friday, I don't know, next Friday, I'll be on their website. So once I get that, I'll post it on our website and link to that. But always give those guys a listen. You know, whenever I'm driving around town, I'll always have Mountain Country on. They're actually the first radio station that I listened to Cody Jinks on. And anybody who knows me knows that I love Cody Jinks. And I can still remember the first time I heard a Cody Jinks song driving up Academy. David came on. And, like, if anybody's heard David, it's a song about a guy that goes to war, yeah, comes back home, friend dies, stuff like that. But, like, the lyrics of the song punch you in the gut, and then you think, like, it's over, and then the next verse starts, and it punches you in the gut again. Great song, but it's not a regular radio-played song, so that's what you get from Mountain Country and, you know, local country stations like that, where you can hear some of the more outlaw and red dirt country and things like that. But yeah, I'll be their Vet of the Week either this week or next. We'll get it posted on our websites. Events coming up for us, like I mentioned before, the Fountain Parade for Labor Day weekend. We'll have our tent up there. Stop by if you have any questions. We'll be able to answer them. And then the next big thing is we have a breakfast November 11th, which is Veterans Day, at Persephone Gray's down in Manitou Springs. So come see us there. The parking, there'll be a shuttle that's running, so I'll send out in our newsletter a map to parking and things like that. So hope to see you out there for that day, for Veterans Day. Any veteran and their family will be able to, we'll pick up the tab for you. So join us at Persephone Gray's November 11th. The only other thing I have to mention today is a quick word from our sponsor. All Things Military and Veteran Podcast is proudly sponsored by Native Roots Cannabis Company, Colorado's leading locally grown and owned dispensary chain. Native Roots has been our largest donor since we were founded 4 years ago, and we thank them for their support. They have 20 locations in Colorado, and Native Roots is ready to educate and serve adult use and medical patients alike. Thank you everyone for listening to the All Things Military and Veteran Podcast. We can be found on over a dozen podcast apps, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. We hope you find our programs rewarding and informative. You can sign up for our newsletter at epccpv.org. You can drop us a line at info@epccpv.org. Hart, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time to have a conversation with me.
Sweet. I really appreciated this time with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and I hope you're having fun out there. Stay safe.